1 Corinthians 15, because he lives. We're going to talk about the importance of the resurrection, what that means to our future. I love the part of the song, because he lives, that I love, hold my child. But greater still was the calm assurance that that child can face tomorrow because he lives. Glory to God. Go ahead and go to the scripture, Jeremy. Thank you. We're going to start in verse 12, chapter 15 and verse 12. And I thought I brought my Bible in here, but I guess I didn't. I can just use this one. Sometimes the words don't all fit on the screen, so I want to be able to follow along. Now this, of course, Paul wrote this book, and he's talking about the importance of the resurrection, and he's letting the Corinthians know that without a resurrection, if they don't believe the resurrection of Jesus, there's no future for them. See, our whole salvation hinges on Jesus rising from the dead. If he would have stayed dead, it'd be never any other man. But because he rose the third day, because he came back from the dead, he truly conquered death for all men. So we're going to talk about this. And this is small print, as I'll get my little specs out here. Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Some of the Corinthians were arguing that there is no resurrection. You die, you die. There's no resurrection. He's saying, well, Jesus rose. If you believe that, how can you not believe there'll be a resurrection? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Y'all know he rose. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is in vain. Yea, we are all found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain, means worthless, empty, and you are yet in your sins. See, the resurrection is key to our sins being forgiven. If he just died, we'd still be in our sins. See, he died with our sins on him, but he rose, that song just says, he rose with our justification. He rose declaring us innocent. If he'd have stayed dead, we'd still be in the same position. But he rose. The resurrection is key in the Christian faith. That's what separates true Christian from any other teaching is, of course, Jesus. But not only, I mean, even the Muslims believe in Jesus. They believe he was a prophet, believe he was a great teacher. They believe he lived. They believe he died. But they don't believe he was God. And they don't believe that his blood covers our sins. They don't believe that part. The resurrection is key. And if you deny the resurrection, you deny salvation altogether. We can't be saved unless we believe he paid the price for us and did the whole thing. It's kind of like a sports analogy I'll use. They changed the law in football, rule in football now, that when the receiver catches the ball, they got to continue it all the way to the ground and come up off the ground still holding the ball. They can't drop at any point. Well, Jesus didn't drop the ball any. He died, but then he completed the play by rising. And he rose that third day to say, look, I did what I said I was going to do. I told you I was going to destroy this temple, and then 3 days later, rebuild it. And he wasn't talking about a natural house, talking about himself. He says in one place in John, says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I'm the resurrection. And the same resurrection, and me and Bruce talked about this before church, the same resurrected power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you if you are a Christian. That's not preached a lot. Because for some reason people don't think they have that authority or that authority in God. But the Bible, and we'll read it here later, the Bible tells us that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in us. When we receive Jesus, we receive all of who he is and all of what he has. And me and Bruce were talking. Bruce has the same authority to lay hands on the sick as I do. He didn't need a certificate of ordination to do that. He is certified by the Holy Spirit to do that. The same Jesus saved me, saved Bruce. He didn't get a different Jesus. He didn't get a less anointed Jesus. He got the risen Jesus. I got the risen Jesus. Grandma got the risen Jesus. Melanie got the risen Jesus. We all got the risen Jesus. The same power that rose him from the dead now dwells in us. And we have that authority to walk in that power and lay our hands on things and pray with faith, knowing that it's not us doing anything. It's the power within us that has the authority. That's what counts. And people get caught up in thinking, well, they're in their cells and that's man. It ain't man. Some people take credit for that. I know that. But it's not man. There are no healing preachers. There are no healing men of God. There's one healer, and he is God. Man is just a vehicle. Woman is just a vehicle that God uses to outflow and outpour his anointing. It's a physical point of contact. There's something about physical contact that translates things into existence. We all like to be hugged. We like to hold hands. We like to kiss. We like to be held in our mourning. We drive on that physical contact. When we have an anointing, we lay hands on something. It's a conduit for the anointing to flow from one person into that other vessel. There have been so many times in the years of this ministry that you walked up, people walked up here, and I prayed for them, and it was an immediate, I mean, immediately, when I began, it's so amazing how different the anointing flows through different people. And there have been times I prayed with people, I didn't feel any anointing coming out of them. I didn't feel anything. I mean, I didn't feel anything. There's been others I've laid my hands on, and before I hardly got my hand on, there was like a I can't explain it. Just an incredible thing that happens of that anointing flowing into someone. Well, we have to believe, in order to walk that way, we got to believe he's risen. We can't believe he just died. We got to believe that he rose. Because if we don't believe that he rose, we're still in our sin. I don't think none of us wants to stay there. Thank God we're not still in our sin. Next verse, what verse am I on? 8. I can't see long distance with these. I want to see close. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Paul is saying, if you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, then those that have died, they're perished. They're gone. No hope for them. They're dead. Now, we're not going to get into tonight to the theology of exactly when the resurrection takes place, because there's different spins on this. I gave you a little bit of mine a few weeks ago. If you were here, you heard what I said a little bit. So that's not the point tonight. Some people believe, you know, teach and believe the resurrection is as soon as someone goes on, they're resurrected with God. Some believe there's going to be a future actual resurrection. And that's not my point tonight. My point I want to make tonight is this. There is a resurrection for each of us that are in Christ. And that's all that matters to me. There's a resurrection. It doesn't matter to me if I'm resurrected when I go on, if I'm resurrected. I know I'm immediately in God's presence. That I know. And there's that I'm going to be bodily, physically. I'm not going to be some vapor out there, some ghost floating around with no body, looking for a home. But I'm going to have soul, mind, body together intact, whole, complete, and perfect. No sickness, no disease, no depression, no discouragement, no fear, no poverty, no anguish, no anxiety, nothing. I'll be a perfect creation in God's sight again. That I know. That's our tomorrow. That's our future. That's because he lives, I live also forevermore. Paul said, it's not me that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. That's the hope of my glory, is that Christ lives in me. Each one of us will not stay in the state we're in now, this old, growing old body, the bad backs, the bad knees, the gray hair, the dim eyes, the deaf ears, the wrinkled face. That's not our future glorification. That's right now. Each one of us are going to have a personal resurrection of immortality where the Holy Spirit quickens our mortal bodies again and we are perfect with none of the stuff we face now. This is not our future, how we are experiencing life now. This is not how it's going to always be. There's a much better, as Annie sings it best, tomorrow. The sun, S-O-N, is going to come out tomorrow. And each one of us has tomorrow waiting on us. That when our time comes and we cross that portal, we leave all this behind and we embark on a brand new life that will never perish away and never pass away. Because Jesus rose. The resurrection is key. He's trying to teach Corinthians how important this resurrection is. Because he lives, Corinthians, you're going to live. Verse 19, in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Now, I know that let's just be real here tonight. This is a small group tonight. Not like last Wednesday at all. Think about this. We love God. We want to serve God. But let's be real. If there was nothing to go to after this, I mean, let's just be honest. Don't nobody look at me religious and shoot me down here. If there was nothing better after this, I don't mean to be disrespectful, I'm just being real. What would be the purpose of us serving if there was no tomorrow for us? I mean, think about that. We love God, yes. But man, we've got something waiting on us. We've got hope in a future beyond this. Paul is saying if all you have is what you have here and it ends and that's all you got, man, you ain't got anything. Think about there was nothing to cross into, that we lived our life for 50, 60, 70 years on the earth, and that was all we had. And we just go away. But thank God we have a tomorrow and a future that God has established, and we know where we're going. We know the kingdom is waiting on us. So yes, we serve God with love, but we also serve God with great expectation and hope that God, you got something better in this earthly clay I'm in now. You've got something better than the achy bones and the discouraging life and my rebellious kids and my broken marriages. God, you've got something better than this for me. So what does that do? It gives us hope for now, to know it's not going to always be like it is now. It gives us hope to reach for something beyond what we see with our natural eyes and realize, God, because you raised from the dead, I will be part of your kingdom. There's a kingdom waiting on me. So we can serve with excitement, serve with joy, serve with expectation, serve with peace, knowing it doesn't just stop here. And I was talking to a guy earlier here at the church this morning. We were talking, he's an older guy, and we were talking, this generation we're in now by far is the most unbelieving generation we've ever been on the earth. Don't believe in the Bible anymore. Think the stories are fake and not real, and I'm seeing a very troubling trend of this. That heaven's just a myth, hell's just a myth, da da da, all this is a myth, that we just, you know, everything we've been taught, everything we've seen, it's not real, doesn't exist. And I'm going to tell you, we've got to be very careful with that spirits in the earth. I've seen some good people I know, some seasoned people, go the other way. Because they've let that doubt and other people's voices creep in and detour them of their faith in God and what the Word says. I do believe there's a heaven. I do believe there's an eternal realm that those that place their faith in God live forever. I believe that. I don't think heaven's a myth. I'm not John Lennon. What if there was no heaven? I know there's a heaven. I know there's something real beyond this realm. I think even, I've said before, a great example I've used, or I think it's a great example, is our dreams. I think our dreams teach us there's more beyond this earth. How many times your dream, I woke up this morning, I was so in a dream, and I forget what it is now, but I remember waking up and it was so real. And I woke up, it took me a minute to get my thoughts together, and I was so stuck where I was. I mean, how many times have you been so engrossed in a place in your sleep that was real? You could see things, you could even feel things. You were talking to people. You were experiencing things. Actually, it was about church last night. I was dreaming about something about the church, and I was dreaming that. Imagine that. I don't always dream that, but I was dreaming about the church. And it was so real. Well, you know what? I was somewhere else. My conscience, my thoughts were somewhere else beyond this natural realm. I was in a place different than I was out of my bedroom, but yet I was in my bedroom. My body was there, but my thoughts and conscience were in another realm. And I didn't take any medication before bed. So it's not pills or hallucinations. I'm just dreaming. Dreams, I think, teach us that there is something beyond this realm. And so if we don't believe that Jesus paid the price as a Christian for our sins, then our sins still stand before us and we're still standing in judgment. We're counting the Jewish people that haven't accepted Christ as Messiah. They're still standing in judgment because they've not received the cleansing, atoning redemption of Christ. I thank God I can receive that. I thank God I know where I am and who I serve and who I live in and who lives in me. I thank God I know that because He rose. And I think the great thing about the Bible is, even though people think it's, you know, whatever, once again, they'll believe any of the book they read and go to the bookstore, Barnes & Noble, buy any book. Hey, do you know this happened? Well, how do you know? A guy wrote it. It makes no sense to me. But when, you know, they want to use, well, man wrote the Bible. Well, yeah, man wrote everything. But you believe other stuff. But I lost my train of thought. Now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Those who have died, Christ become the first fruit, the first one to come back from the dead forevermore. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. I want to clarify something in case you picked this up, and maybe you wouldn't pick it up tonight, but I want to clarify it in case you did. This verse is not teaching universal salvation. It's not teaching because it says all in Christ. It doesn't mean every person is going to be born again and saved. It's those that place their faith in Christ that are saved. Many people want to teach this as a universal salvation verse because it says that in Christ all shall be made alive. Well, all that believe in Christ. I mean, that's just common sense, I think. Not all that live, but all that make their profession in Christ. But each one in his own order, Christ was first, and then afterward, those who are Christ, who are his, at his coming. Now, let's stop there a minute, Jeremy. Don't go back, because I want to talk about this just a minute. And I'm not going to try to get deep in theology tonight with this, but I do want to make a point here, because nobody really knows. Let's be honest. And I'm not an end-time preacher. I'm not a revelation preacher. But I want to say this. It says that we will be resurrected at his coming. Once again, his coming can be discussed different ways. When my grandpa passed over, Christ came for him. Now, you know, is he in the resurrected state? Could be. Nobody really knows. Everybody talks about a future resurrection of everybody at one time doing all, but I'm just making a point of thought here that those of us that are Christ at his coming will be resurrected. God comes for those that are his, and he calls their name. And most people, Christians especially, I don't know about other people, but Christians, they begin to know and sense and see things before they go on. They begin to reach out for things and hear things, and they know God's coming for them. So I'm not so sure. Once again, this doesn't change anything. I believe each one of us will have a bodily resurrection. When that happens is up for discussion. That's not a big deal to me. I don't care. I just think I'm going to heaven. I think too many people get caught up on that and try to bring division. I just want to make a point as a minister that as I read this and as I see this and as I for years have prayed about this, you know, because some people believe in soul sleep. I don't believe in that. They call it soul sleep. They think that, you know, you're laying there kind of in an unconscious state until the resurrection. I don't believe that. Because if that's the case, then something has separated me from Christ's love and nothing can separate me from Christ's love. I don't believe that. I believe that there's an immediate awareness we're in God's presence. Now, there's been debate on, okay, yeah, you're in God's presence, but you haven't got your bodily resurrection yet. That comes later. Nobody knows that. We don't know that. All I know, and I believe with all my heart, when my time comes, I'm going to see Jesus, and I might cross right over at that moment to my glorified body in his kingdom. We just can't see that right now because of where we're at. It's a different realm. It's like a dream state. You're not in my dreams. You know, Grandma didn't pop in my dream last night and say, "Now, Jamie, quit dreaming that. I won't make you no more biscuits." She didn't do that. She wasn't in my dream. telling me what to do. I'm in a whole different place. And so the reason I'm making this point is that each one of us will have our resurrection day, whenever that is, whether it's when we cross right over or whether God has some other form he's got us in. Until then, I'm not going to try. See, some people just teach it traditionally. And I'm not going to do that because I'm not so sure that's all truth the way it's taught traditionally. And so I'm just making a point. All I care about is there's a resurrection. I'm going to be bodily resurrected. I'm going to leave this flesh, and I'm going to inhabit a brand new body. I know that. That's all that matters. When it happens, who knows? But I just know I'm going to inhabit a brand new body, and I will be known by those around me of who I am. It will be a body that will not ever have disease, ever have sickness. It will go on and on and on and on forever. It's got a lifetime warranty, a lifetime guarantee. It'll never need to be charged. It'll never run out. It'll never fall down. I will have a resurrected, mortal body just like Jesus when he came out of the grave. He could never die again. When we cross over, we will never, ever die again. We will have the resurrection that God said we would have. That's what I believe. So when it happens, just don't matter to me. I just don't believe sometimes it's the way it's been traditionally taught of where there'll be. It's just, I don't know. We won't get into that tonight. We're talking about the resurrection. I'm not trying to be difficult. I try to really hear from God and read in things the way the Holy Spirit leads me. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father and he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. See, the people that's gone on before us that we love, my grandpa, Uncle Homer, Lori, they'll never die again. Ever. They'll never experience a separation of body from spirit again. They're whole, together, and forever. That's our hope. That's our promise. That's our future. And that's worth hanging on for. And that's worth serving God. And that's worth having hope that there's more than this. You know, we've been hearing a lot lately about suicide. A lot of people. And it seems to be a growing trend because people become so desperate, so hurt, so much in pain. And it affects all ages. I mean, Blue's dad was 67. And then we hear 13, 14-year-olds that do that. And it's a trend that seems to be growing because people want hope. And they see no hope. I've got a crappy life. Bad family, no money, bad health. You know, whatever our situation is that gets us to a point that we feel there's no way out. Aren't you glad as Christians we know that there is an out for each of us? That there's a hope waiting on us. There's a hope beyond what we see, what we feel, what we experience. And that anything we're dealing with right now is very temporary. It's very temporary. The storm will pass, as I preach Sunday morning. The new season will come forth. And each one of us will go into that new season if we will wait on God for it to happen. Our hope is anchored in the resurrection of Jesus. Because he lives, we live. Because he rose, we're going to rise. We're going to rise. And we're going to take our place in his kingdom. I believe those that's gone on before us that was in Jesus, that was his, when Jesus came for them. And I do say that. I say Jesus came for them. Yes, I believe the enemy is the one that brings sickness and disease. But I believe in the end, when a saint cries out, God, I'm ready, God honors that, and he comes. He says, okay, it's your time. I'm coming to get you. I'm taking you home. There's no more beautiful transition than a saint slipping away out of this earthly realm into the hands of God. There's no sweeter trip than that. To where they just immediately are in the presence of all they believed in, all that they hoped in. No more pain. Waiting on us, waiting on the ones that they loved to join them. There's so much more in this earth. So much more. You know, I'm a big Star Trek fan. I love Star Trek. I'm not a Star Trek nerd. I don't go to sci-fi conventions and dress up and all that. But I do really like Star Trek. And what I would love, I every time I watch those episodes, I would love to be on that Enterprise going through all that space, through all them galaxies at Warp 6, Warp 7. And just the vastness. I mean, do you realize man has not found the end of space? It goes on and on and on and on. I mean, on and on. Google Maps can't find the end of it. Ain't that great? I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And I find myself wondering, is there other creation out there? I don't know. I'm not one of these, you know, cuckoo Martian, you know, people. But who knows what's out there? I mean, there's billions of galaxies out there. And God's big and amazing. And who knows? I just know when I see the vastness of space, I realize how big God is. I mean, they've proven it just goes on and on. There's no end to it. Just space, just, oh, wow. Just awesome. Anyway. I got one more verse I want to read. Romans chapter 11. Romans 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. Now look at this. The Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your what? Mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Our mortal bodies, not some vaporized ghost existence. Our mortal bodies are going to be made alive and quickened. The same power that raised Jesus of Nazareth out of that tomb and those grave clothes fell off. So will our grave clothes at our time fall off, and our mortal bodies will be quickened again, and we'll come out alive and well and resurrected forevermore. Glory to God. That's good news on Wednesday night. I don't care who you are and what you say. That's good news. Glory. That is my message tonight. Believe in the resurrection. It's your hope. Because He lives, we got a hope waiting on us. Praise God for that. Man, what a day it's going to be. Each one that crosses over sees Jesus, who He is. All right. Everybody good? All right. I'm glad y'all was with us tonight. Thanks for coming out on our midweek service. Hope to see y'all Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Bells on and walk in with a spring in your step, expecting from God Sunday morning to be blessed to hear from Him. Stand our feet. Lord, Your word is clear in many places that there is a resurrection for each of Your saints, that our mortal bodies will be quickened, and that we will have a brand new inheritance. As Your word says, creation is groaning and travailing and waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. And God, that's going to happen. We are coming forth as Your sons and daughters in the earth. And Your kingdom will once again be established. And all of this we see will pass away. All the sin, all the temptation, all the pain, all the hate, all the junk, all the immorality, all the fear, all that's going to pass away, God. And Your kingdom will once again rule and reign. And we are a part of that kingdom. And thank God that we are. Thank God, Lord, that You called our name. And that by Your grace we are saved. It is a gift You gave us. Not of works, lest any man boast. Thank You, Jesus, for that. Lord, I pray for each one here that You bless the rest of the week. For those not with us. For those that are doing other things, that are working or sick or just not here. God, be with them. Watch over them. Bless our church family. And bring them with us back together on Sunday morning. Lord, for the offering tonight, for those that sow a seed, we ask You bless the seed that is sown and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.